take 200. I'm going to read what I wrote. There's crickets. I like them. I hope you like them. Okay, here we go. I call this one a deal with the data center. On May 27th at 1:30 p.m. on a hot and sunny downtown day, the Jackson Planning Board held a meeting with a fully packed room. There were a few things on docket, but the biggest issue was that the board was petitioned by Saxon Investment Company to rezone 190 acres of land to a heavy industrial district in Northwest Jackson. This is just miles from neighborhoods off Northside Drive. This is the only way that they'll be able to start development of Jackson's first large data center. And I'll take you there now.
He gives the city time, if you will, to work on guidelines for a data center. None existed.
Turn it down! Turn it down! Turn it down! Hold it down!
The moratorium!
One of the first people to learn and tell everyone about this rezoning was Matt Castile, who owns and operates Wormworks, a compost service that also sells worm and soil to local gardeners. His company runs on the land that the current developer is hoping to rezone and then potentially create a network of buildings, generators, battery banks, and small power plants to service the largest AI companies in the world. In South Haven, Mississippi, data centers have driven local residents mad with constant humming sounds heard from the power generators. The centers have polluted the air, making health outcomes worse for local residents, and raised demand on the local electricity and water system, which in Jackson is already recognized as one of the worst water systems in the country. Pair that with Mississippi having one of the highest poverty rates, and it starts to make you wonder, what do these data centers provide that could make up for all that? The head legal counsel for the Saxon Investment Group was at the planning board meeting, Mr. Robert Ireland. He was there to ask the planning board to postpone their decision until next month. The reason given was, quote, "After the city council meeting last week and continuing conversations, we believe it's in the best interest of all involved to postpone." He added, quote, "The city has committed to present data center-specific standards to address the city's concerns about noise emissions, utility burdens, and other issues. Saxon encourages the city to adopt these standards," close quote. This spurred more heated debate between the crowd and the board, some of the residents saying they should go ahead and vote today. This is the time the "No Data Center" chant erupted and the crumbling security guard had to use his stern voice. Ultimately, the request to postpone was approved, and the next meeting will take place on June 24th, 1:30 p.m. at 200 South President Street. So what's the argument for having one in Jackson? Well, at a recent city council meeting, Mr. Ireland showed up to make a public comment in support of building a data center and doing it quickly. He did this because the council was voting to pause data center construction for 6 months to give them time to put a framework and ordinances in place that would protect the health and well-being of residents. He urged them not to pause and said that if they did, this and other opportunities in the future would likely not be available. I listened back multiple times, and there was only one benefit that he mentioned, and that was the amount of money that the city would receive in the first 10 years. He threw out some big numbers like $62 million and $84 million over 10 years, but later said that the size of the center can vary widely. It's clear that a final investment price is not settled, and there's a large dip in income after the initial building phase. For comparison, the city's full budget for the next 10 years is $3.3 billion. And the money isn't directly paid to the city, but rather mainly through indirect means like tax from the initial investment phase and property tax, which is often subsidized. Ireland was the only person there in support of a data center, but there were plenty opposed. Miss Erin Ori is a longtime Jackson resident and showed up in support of pausing any new developments. Jason Haley and Shannon Samsa are residents of South Haven, and they live near the turbines that have been constructed to power a data center in Memphis. I'd like to play their and Mr. Ireland's public comments in full. No edits.
Council President Grizzell, members of the council, my name is Robert Ireland. I'm a lawyer at Watkins Neger in downtown Jackson. I'm working on behalf of a client that wants to bring a data center project to Jackson that meets all of the city's concerns. There's a finite window of opportunity while the major data center users are still making decisions where to locate. These big investment decisions are being made right now, and many, many billions of dollars have already been committed. The same opportunities that exist today in Jackson will simply not be present after a long delay if the moratorium is passed. The projects will go to other cities and other states. And that's especially true if the city passes a data center moratorium that signals that Jackson doesn't want the data center projects that Jackson's neighbors and so many cities throughout the country want. Data center projects have been announced in Ridgeland, $10.5 billion, Canton, $10 billion, Brandon, $4 billion, Vicksburg, $3 billion, and the smallest one of those is the $1 billion investment in Clinton. If Jackson were to land a project the size of Clinton's, the smallest one, it would get more in benefits than Clinton would get because of the high millage in Jackson. In the first 10 years alone, the city would get $62.3 million. The school district would get $85.3 million. The county would get $25.6 million. That's just in the first 10 years. And there are opportunities for Jackson to land projects that are bigger than Clinton's, that will still meet all of the city's concerns. The data center moratorium addresses water and the potential burdens that will be placed on the water system. The industry has moved to closed-loop cooling systems that reuse water and require a fraction of the water as older facilities. Electricity. There are on-site new power generation options with energy that do not take electricity from residents and small businesses and do not affect their rates. And I'm not talking about the unpermitted mobile diesel generators that were used as primary power at Elon Musk's huge 1.2 gigawatt South Haven plant. The data center has adapted to meet these challenges. Just since the moratorium ordinance was introduced, Ridgeland has passed several pages of data center standards. Clinton is considering data center standards. So I would have asked that the city pass those standards without a moratorium. The city's got time. No one's about to put a shovel in the ground to start one of these projects. And I would ask the council to vote against it.
Thank you,
participate in the economic benefits.
Thank you, Mr. Ireland. Thank you. Next, we have agenda items.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Erin Shirley Ori. I am a long-term resident of Jackson, and I'm here to urge this council to vote yes on the proposed moratorium on data centers. I want to be clear at the outset, this is not in opposition to economic development or advancing technology. It is a concern that developments are not happening on terms that protect the people who live here. In January 2024, the Mississippi Legislature convened a special session and passed Senate Bill 2001, granting data centers such as Amazon Web Services and Entergy fast-tracked permits, unprecedented confidentiality protections, and exemptions from normal procurement rules to accelerate data center construction. those regulatory steps were removed were not bureaucratic red tape. They were community protection mechanisms such as environmental impact reviews, public comment periods, utility rate oversight, which were designed to catch problems before they become crises. The Amazon data center campus in Madison County alone is projected to consume nearly as much electricity as every other Entergy Mississippi customer combined. Entergy will need to spend an estimate of $3 to $4 billion to in a new power plant construction to meet that demand, and that debt can get passed to the ratepayers. Financial analysis suggests that this could add up to $87 per month to an average Mississippi family's electric bill. For a family living near poverty, that $87 does not come from a discretionary budget. It comes from food, it comes from medicine, and it comes from keeping your lights on. And published research is clear about what hyperscale data centers do to nearby communities. These facilities rely on diesel backup generators that continuously emit particulate matter and nitrogen oxides, which are pollutants directly linked to cancer, heart disease, and respiratory illnesses. Data centers also consume staggering quantities of water for cooling. A single hyperscale facility can use up to 5 million gallons per day, roughly equivalent to a city of 50,000 people. The noise from the HVAC systems and diesel generators run around the clock at levels associated with hearing loss, chronic stress, and sleep deprivation for nearby residents. Our South Haven residents are dealing with this today. What we are seeing from communities across the country are increased energy bills, water contamination and depletion, noise pollution, and billions in public tax breaks and subsidies to multi-trillion dollar tech companies. Once built, these facilities require very small crews to run it, providing very few permanent local jobs to justify the taxpayer cost. The state of Mississippi moved in 2 days to give billion-dollar corporations expedited permits. Jackson residents deserve at least 183 days to get this right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have handouts also.
Hello, my name is Jason Haley. I live in South Haven, Mississippi. I've drove here for the MDEQ permit hearing to have the permanent turbines approved, and I'm driving back today. Just to let y'all know, I live a half mile away from the power plant, the data center. The noise has been excruciating torture since August. I've no relief from it. Talked with our mayors, talked with everyone about it. It's just all economic benefits is all I want to hear. You know, we were told the same as a lot of people were. This is going to be different under my watch. Every city, every mayor, everybody thinks, hey, this is going to be different. They're not going to do it the same. We're going to protect y'all. That's not what happens. Once y'all sign it and let these data centers come in, they're going to do whatever they want. They're going to skirt every law, use every loophole they can possibly do. We have close to 60 turbines on site now. They're only approved for 42 permanent. They're currently running them all the time. From my backyard, from inside my house, I hear this. I have no relief from it. I'm just here to warn y'all that y'all let this happen, and this could be what it sounds like every time you're outside. That's mild. That's mild compared to what it can get. I hear it inside my house. My walls vibrate. Losing sleep over it. I don't even have enough words to explain how this has made us feel in South Haven, Mississippi. And our mayor has ignored us, saying, hey, economic benefits. We all know this does not bring many jobs. Once it's said and done, after construction's over with, 20 people maybe will have permanent jobs there. This doesn't really benefit the city, like everyone says. And, you know, even the lawyers speaking out, they're going to tell you what all the financials of it, how great this is. They don't tell you the impacts of it. What this does to the citizens that live near this, I fully support a moratorium. We had no public input, no insight on what was happening to us. The announcement was made August 1st, and noise was there within 2 weeks later. All right, and it's continued every day since. So there's a lot of other concerns, you know, with air pollution and stuff. And people say, hey, you know, we've done our research, we've done our studies, it's not going to use your water, it's not going to pollute the air. The same people told us the noise will have no adverse effects on us. I promise it does. So do I believe their consultants and the people they're paying very well to tell everyone, hey, this is great. This is going to be clean. This is nothing like what happened everywhere else. Look around. Look at other cities, other states that have been through this, what they're currently going through, and the pushback. You know, they're saying, oh, this is great economic benefit. Money's not everything, all right? You know, there's me and many people that live in my neighborhood. Some have left because of physical illness because of this noise. You know, we talk about air pollution, the impacts, the health impacts of that. Noise has also impacts on health. I guarantee it. I feel it.
Thank you, Mr. Haley. Shannon Samsa. Data Center.
Good evening. My name is Shannon Samsa. I am also from South Haven, like Jason, where, as you're aware, XAI's newest data center is located. No one who had the power to protect our community did. Every single guardrail and guideline that was meant to protect us has failed. Every single one, on a local level, on a state level, on a federal level. Jason, myself, and others have now spent almost a year of our own lives trying to minimize damage that wasn't caused by us. Because it's too late to prevent the damage. It's already being caused, and we still have a very long way to go. I would give anything to have had something in place that would have prevented XAI from being in South Haven in the first place. Since I've become involved in a lot of this work, something that I've heard often is that we just don't know all the long-term effects of data centers, and maybe that's true. But what a lot of people don't understand is that not all data centers are the same. AI data centers in particular require enormous amounts of power, which means they require something to generate that power. And maybe they won't be using unpermitted turbines like what's happening in South Haven, I don't know. But that still requires permitted turbines, which still pose the exact same health risks as unpermitted turbines. I personally tried to warn our mayor back in August. I brought my concerns to him, and I was basically told they were all unfounded and not a cause for concern. I was told noise would not be a concern and that all due diligence had been done. Clearly, that has not been the case, even after the addition of two different sound walls. I was told water use would be zero, but we've filed public, and I was told water use would be zero because of closed loops of systems specifically. And we filed public record requests for XAI's water bills, and the facts say otherwise. We have no way to know if the massive amount of water they're using is sustainable for our aquifer or not, and we might not know until it's too late, like everything else. I think it's really important, like Jason was saying, to note that our situation is not an anomaly. We may be the first AI data center in Mississippi, but we're certainly not the first in the US, and you can easily find countless stories just like ours throughout the country. We were told South Haven would be different because our mayor would never allow anything harmful into South Haven right next to his childhood neighborhood where his parents still live. But these big tech companies coming into our state do not care about us. They don't care about you or me or our families or our neighbors. They care about money, and they're here because they're getting huge tax breaks and cheap land. So I really just came to say that if I were in your shoes, I would pass a data center or moratorium without thinking twice about it.
Thank you so much.
So, now on to the vote. And this is the weirdest bit. When they got to the part where they vote on whether or not to pause all development for 6 months, there was so much disagreement about the legality of the moratorium and debate over whether or not it was a zoning ordinance. Because if it's a zoning ordinance, the public has to be given 15 days advance notice, or else it could be invalidated later in court. Grizel seemed unconcerned with the city attorney's warning, as he felt there was a misunderstanding at the time that it was made. Someone from the city attorney's office was there to follow up and say that since it restricted the use of land that is owned or marketed, then that makes it a zoning ordinance. Quote, in other words, the measure restricts the use of private property. That makes it a zoning issue. Close quote. And obviously, I can't say what's right. And I don't even want to read the whole ordinance here because it's always so complicated. But it really doesn't explicitly say anything about zoning. It just talks about pausing data center development for 6 months and creating a framework for data centers in the future to operate under. And Clay also expressed her support for passing the measure that day. She said the city attorney has done a great job giving them the memo, but she feels they need to go ahead and act on it, and in between, give the notice that they're asking for. Mr. Hartley then questioned Peter Towson how quickly the administration could come up with a proper zoning ordinance for a new data center. 30 days was the response. Hartley wanted MDEQ to approve it, but Towson said that they would likely sidestep any request to do that. Parkinson then chimed in, urging the council to take the advice of the city attorney, to which Clay responded they didn't need to because it wasn't a zoning ordinance. Grizel and Clay were on their own here, and the vote showed that out. Brown motioned to table the issue. It was properly seconded, and the vote to table passed 4-2. Brown and Grizel were the two that voted against tabling. Stokes was absent. It now appears there will need to be a majority vote to bring it back. The numbers for your elected officials will be on JacksonDigest.com. Upcoming events. June 2nd, 10 a.m., City Council meeting at City Hall. June 22nd, public hearing on data centers and rezoning at City Hall. June 24th, public hearing with the Rezoning Board at 200 South President Street.